I debated on how I was going to open this up. We're going to talk about why God, and probably one of the best characters to reference would be Job. A lot of us already know the story of Job, but perhaps there's some things we can learn through this retelling of the story, so please, you know, give your attention to it. But have you ever noticed how life just suddenly comes at you fast? Sometimes it comes at you too fast. It comes at you in such a way that it can upend your life within just a few moments. As we were asking for prayer, it slipped my mind as to who I needed to ask for. It's tough to keep everything up in this little walnut up here. But the thing is, David Peoples, been walking and hitchhiking for years. And then all of a sudden, one day, a car comes along. I don't know the reasons and what actually occurred, but a car comes along and hits him. Does a lot of damage. And now he's fighting for his life. Something somebody has done for years and years and years. Became a fixture. Became quite known for that. But that's the thing, that we all have to come at least to an understanding that things happen beyond our control. And we don't always get to have a warning that something's coming. Now, sometimes you do. Sometimes you get a warning from the doctor's office that says, hey, take care of yourself because you're starting to have a heart problem. Well, that at least is something you can start working on. But when heart attacks and strokes and things like that come upon you without warning, that's when it could upend your life and those around you, your loved ones, and it could just change everything in a moment. Those of you who work in the medical field, you know what I'm talking about. You see this a lot. You see this happening. So today I want to talk about Job, and I hope that I may be able to give you something that can give you some peace and give you comfort. So let's pray. Let's bow our heads and pray that the Lord will speak to us in this moment. Almighty God, as we come to you to study your word, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ, my Lord and my Savior, God, that you will speak to us through your word. Lord, that you will give us that comfort, that peace, because there's so much we don't understand, so much that happens to us we don't understand. But God, we are told to walk by faith and not by sight. So help us, Lord, to understand these things and to put it in practice and carry on, Lord. In Jesus' name we give praise. Amen. All right, so Job, a very well-known fixture in the Old Testament. He was known for his suffering. But the thing is, there's a lot of aspects of that suffering you may or may not know already. Let's go ahead and jump in. We're going to read just verse 1 of chapter 1. It starts out, it says, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. Let's pause here for a moment. Notice those words. He feared God and eschewed evil. Means he shunned evil. He hated evil. He didn't want it to be part of his life. You know, a lot of us, this is what I was talking about earlier. We may be in bondage and not realize it, but a lot of times we do evil things and maybe not realize how bad they are. Okay, sometimes we hurt people's feelings. Sometimes we hurt them physically. And we don't realize how big a deal that is until it's all over and then you see the after effects. Now, I have to preach on myself here because I have sometimes my temper gets the best of me. You know, you let things go for a while and they kind of gnaw at you for a little bit, and then all of a sudden one day something, whatever that something is the last straw, and it just comes out without you really thinking about it. And then I have to end up going buying dinner for my wife. Unfortunately, that's being a costly thing for me. So that's kind of, I don't do this. I don't have a swear jar because I don't swear. But you know how some people have a swear jar that when they say a bad word, they'll put money in the thing. Well, I don't have to do that because too much is going toward Deronda's way. No, it's not as bad as you think, but it does happen. But no, I mean, I want to mend it. I want to try to fix things, to fix our relationship, to make it, to keep it good, even when I fail. So the thing is, that happens a lot when it comes to God. We do things against God. Maybe we don't think it's so bad, but God is watching. God is looking at you, and he's wondering if you really have a heart for him or not. Well, Job did. And the thing that's great, not too many people in the Bible is written that they were perfect. How about that? Job already has a reputation. He's perfect and upright. And how did he get that way? How did Job get that way? He feared God. You know, I think sometimes the problem we have in this country, in this world, is we don't have a healthy fear of God. Now, the thing is, I don't think God is interested in you to be afraid of him, that every time you slip up, you're going to cower in fear like this and say, God, don't hurt me, don't hurt me. Oh my goodness, is that your view of God? I hope not. God is not there. God is for us. He's for us, so who can be against us? The thing is, when we slip up, the fear of God is to come back to him. You know you slipped up, you know you fail, and you want to come back to him. That's a healthy fear of God, okay? And also a healthy fear of God is not to want to have evil in your lives. That's Job. I know it's an old English word, eschewed, but it means he shunned it. A lot of us don't realize, but when we see things going on that we know is not right, against the law or against at least something immoral, that sometimes we'll just, you know, kind of watch it, and then before long, maybe we'll join in a little bit. We're not completely given over to it, but then it doesn't take long, right? And then suddenly you've found yourself in an evil situation, and you wonder how you got there. How did I get there? I didn't wake up this morning planning on stealing something or hurting somebody or really, you know, punching somebody or whatnot. Don't tell me you hadn't thought about that. A lot of us do. But we resist. The Bible says, be angry, but sin not. You can be angry, just don't take your anger out on people. No, but the thing is, too, not only do we get ourselves that way, but sometimes, like I said earlier, life just happens. Life just happens. Calamity strikes. Our lives get turned upside down, and it could happen within a moment. And so here, Job is a man, and the story, he's upright and he's perfect. He fears God. He hates evil. And then all of a sudden, there's a meeting in heaven. I'm not going to read those scriptures, just tell you about it. There's a meeting in heaven, and Satan shows up. Surprise, Satan's up there. And so there is a conversation between Satan and God. And basically, I'm going to paraphrase it, but God says, hey, do you notice my man Job down here? Now, I will tell you that Satan has noticed. Because the Lord told Satan how good he was. Yeah, Satan goes, yeah, sure. He's good because you put a hedge about him. What's a hedge? A hedge is something to protect. God puts a hedge about a lot of us, all of us. What could happen doesn't always happen, because God has put a hedge about it. So that tells me that Satan was trying to get at Job because he noticed there was a hedge about it. Anyway, he talking back to God, he says, you know, if you take that away, Job will curse you. And the Lord basically said, well, I'll tell you what, I'll let you do it. You can take that, you know, you can affect his life, but don't hurt him. Well, what do you think Satan did? He did. He went off to hurt Job. And that's where we're going to pick up the story in verse 13. Now, each of these sons that Job had, he had 7 sons, 3 daughters, 10 people, 10 children. Okay, so they're out there and they have feasts, just like we do. We celebrate our birthdays, right? We celebrate our birthdays and maybe other days. Family get together, you know, family reunion and all these other things. But we have all these celebrations that we do. And so that's what they were doing. Verse 13. It said, and there was a day when his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in their elder brother's, the eldest brother's house. And that's what they did. They had a party. They had a party. Now, this was interesting because this was almost a continual thing. I don't know whether all of them were born in different months, but there would be at least a celebration every 10 months, you know, out of 12. And then who knows, family reunions and other things that come in. But the thing is, Joe was such a rich man, he had these kids living in the lap of luxury. Living in the lap of luxury. Job was so rich. Back during that time, he would at least be considered a millionaire, if not a billionaire. And that's Job. He was so rich. You've heard of the rags to riches story. God blessed him and he became rich. And his children were eating and drinking, having parties on a very regular basis. Verse 14. Here it comes, folks. This is life happening. And there came a messenger unto Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the asses feeding beside them. So the animals were out working. Just because the children weren't working, they were, like I said, living in a lap of luxury. Everybody else was out working. Verse 15. And the Sabaeans fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. So who knew that Job had enemies? You know, things might be going great for you, but then all of a sudden you have an enemy. Somebody who's trying to disrupt your life. Plenty of those. Somebody is trying to disrupt your life. Verse 16. And while he was yet speaking, now if you, which I don't understand all of Hebrew, but I understand the people who have commentary on it. Basically, the words were still in the messenger's mouth. Literally, he was finishing up his sentence when, while he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the fire of God is falling from heaven and hath burned up the sheep. Now notice in the last verse, the oxen were taken, but this time something happens where fire falls from heaven and burned up the sheep and the servants, and it consumed them. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. So notice what's happening. Have you noticed how insurances for your home and other things will actually refer to things of acts of God? Acts of God. How come we always say a tornado or an earthquake or a fire or something like this may be an act of God? Well, this is probably where they get that idea. But we know who did this. It wasn't God. It was Satan. Now, this may come as a shock to you, but Satan has power over the elements, probably over weather patterns and other things. Now, I tell you, it shocked me when I thought about that. Because remember, the Lord told Satan to do these things. Satan is the god of this world. You might want to think he's in hell right now. I can tell you by Scripture he is not. Just as he said in Job when he spoke to God, because God asked him, so where'd you come from? Well, he said, you know, I've been walking around to and fro among the earth. What does Peter say Satan is doing right now? He's like a roaring lion walking to and fro, seeking whom he may devour. See, he hasn't changed. That's still going on, folks. He's looking for somebody that he can devour. This is that hedge I was talking about. God often puts a hedge about each and every one of us so that the things that could happen doesn't always happen. And you might say, well, why on this day, 21 years ago, did the Twin Towers fall? That's because people did some terrible things and our country was attacked. And now we're suffering for that attack. And I thought that would it be possible that some good would come out of this? And then all of a sudden there was a rallying cry to pray. That was so good. I can remember people were saying, we need to pray, we need to pray. And people in churches all over were gathering together. Denominations didn't even recognize each other's denomination, but they were so intense to pray that it was just a wonderful gathering of saints to pray to God and ask for mercy. 3,000 people died that day. 3,000. And others followed because of the sicknesses that came from that. A terrible tragedy in our country, in our history, 21 years ago. And you wonder, why, God? Why did this have to happen? Why are we having to endure these tribulations? Lord, why did my loved one have a heart attack? Or why did they have a stroke? Why did they lose their job? Where are you, Lord? What's happening to me? Where are you? And that's the human side of us coming out when calamity hits. We want to know why. And that's a natural thing. But here we have a second messenger coming in now and saying, the fire of God falling from heaven consumed the sheep and the servants. And remember, there were thousands of them, lots of them. Verse 17. And yet again, while he was yet speaking. So here one guy finishes his witness, and a second guy comes in and tacks on the very end of that one, and here comes a third. And while he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the Chaldeans made out three bands, in other words, they split up into three regiments or whatnot, and fell upon the camels and have carried them away. Here they go. They stole more of Job's livestock. Yea, and have slain the servants with the edge of the sword. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. You're starting to recognize a theme here. You're starting to recognize that Satan is destroying everything that Job has. In a moment. Everything. And each time Satan allows one person to survive to come tell Job the bad news. The bad news. Verse 18. And while he was yet speaking, so there's three, and here comes a fourth. There came also another and said, thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. Here it comes. Here it comes. You think it couldn't get any worse? It's about to get a lot worse. You think a lot of times the things that we're suffering right now in this moment, this day, can't get any worse? Well, sometimes it can. So here we go, verse 19. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness. There's that weather pattern again. Likely a tornado, but who knows? Do people remember the derecho that came through here not so many years ago? Yeah. Powerful, wasn't it? Powerful. And I remember seeing a satellite image of the trees that were just simply blown over like this, as if they were toothpicks, you know? And I forgot how long. I want to say, my memory thinks it's 700 miles. But, I mean, the power behind a derecho, I had never heard of one until it happened. But they're like a tornado with a flat line. They just go one direction and lay down almost everything in its path. Thank God we survived most of that here. I mean, I know there were a lot of trees down. I do recall we were having vacation Bible school here. And I think some of us, or not me, I was at home, but I think my daughter and her kids and some of us here in my family were able to get out just in time But then some others got blocked by the trees that fell. In fact, I helped push a tree out of the way this morning. We came in, Dorana was driving, she almost got it. But she stopped in time. And the thing was, I got out real quick because we were right around the curve and I pushed that thing out of the way. That's why I got dirt stains on me. But the thing was, you know, I thought, oh my. But I don't know, it's so easy. You could almost whistle out here and blow down a tree. The thing is, though, Job's family, now there came a great wind from the wilderness, and it smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. Job lost his camels, he lost his oxen, he lost his sheep, including the servants, and now he just lost his family. Now he just lost his family. Why, God? Why is this happening to me? We don't know, do we? He was perfect, right? That's what God said. He's perfect. Because he feared God and he hated evil. He shunned it. Isn't that enough? Isn't that enough? God, don't I warrant some kind of protection because of that? See, that's the thing we have to understand about living in a cursed world. A cursed world does not exempt us from calamity. I love that song Sister Aaron Tate sang, what was it, last week, I think? The Promise, or the week before? I love that song because it reminds us that the Lord didn't promise nothing bad was going to happen to us. He never promised that. But he said he'd be with us. He promised he'd be with us every step of the way. When Jesus went to the cross, God the Father was with him every step of the way. The only time, and my mind cannot fathom it, I don't know how it's possible, but the only time there may have come a separation between Jesus the Son and God the Father was when Jesus was on that cross and he accepted the punishment of all the sin. I can't imagine this, folks, but all of the sin that you and I have committed and everyone committed in the history of the world was put upon Jesus Christ. He paid the price. And what that did for us, the Lord God the Father looked upon the sin that was put upon his Son, and this is my interpretation, is that he couldn't bear to look at it. He turned his back. And Jesus cried out. Those words that haunt me even today, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Now that was to fulfill prophecy. But the Lord, God the Father, turned his back. But yet, that spirit, after 3 days, it re-entered the body of Jesus Christ, and he rose again. And that completed the act of salvation, folks. You know, our salvation would not have been finished until he rose. How do I know that? Because Paul's saying, If the dead do not rise, then Jesus hasn't risen. And if Jesus hasn't risen, then you're still dead in your sins. And we are the most miserable people. That's what he said. But, he said, but now Jesus has risen. And folks, we have an opportunity now of being set free. We sang that song earlier. We can be set free. What's it take? Work? No. Well, I don't know if you want to call it work. You have to humble yourself. You have to give your heart to the Lord. Now, we often do this in front. You know, we give an altar call and we ask people to come, give your heart to the Lord. Accept the free gift that Jesus is offering today. He's got his hands out. You know, it started out like this. He was on the cross with his hands spread wide open. And he took those nails. He took that suffering for you and me, for all of us, so that we can come to him. And now he's got his arms out like this. He's inviting you to come to him. Because he knows all of you who labor and are heavy laden. And he said, what? I'll give you rest. Now, what kind of rest is he going to give us? Mostly it's the peace. Peace that comes from knowing him. That peace that passes all understanding, the scripture says. You know, you might think, well, no, I got so much going on, like Job. I got these things happening to me, and it's upending my life. How can I possibly have peace? That's a good question. Verse 20. So Job just lost everything. And he got the bad news, one right after the other. Bam, 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 bam. You know, you lost your cattle, you lost your sheep, you lost your camels, you lost your family. So in a moment, Job went from riches down to rags. He had nothing. Had nothing. But what'd he do? Then Job arose and he rent his mantle. What does that mean? That's an old English phrase where you have like a cloak or a covering over you. Some women wear shawls and others wear scarves or whatnot. But anyway, when you are so distraught or in so much distress, you rip it. Okay? You rip it. Because it's a sign of deep, deep mourning. So he rent his mantle, he ripped it apart, and he shaved his head, and he fell down upon the ground and worshiped. Wow, Job. He worshiped. Verse 21. Now this is the understanding we have to come to, just like Job. He said, and naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Everything you have today is on loan. Your possessions, your material things, all of this is on loan. Your family, they're on loan. You're only going to have them for a short time. Now's the time to teach them about the Lord, to teach them about Jesus Christ, to help them to understand the way to salvation. Please, please, I urge you, brethren, please, to teach your kids about the Lord, because if you don't, they're going to get a different teaching in the schools and out here in this world, and they can get a hold of your children, and if they don't have an understanding of the Lord Jesus Christ, who knows what will be their fate. I urge you, teach him about Jesus Christ. And Job, he understood, I came without anything, and I'm going to go back without anything. There was a story, I forgot who it was, but there was a very rich man, and when he died, all the kids were out here waiting for the lawyer to actually come out and to announce and pronounce that he has died. And when the lawyer finally come out and said, yes, your father has died, one of the greedier children spoke up very quickly. Well, how much did he leave? Oh, my goodness, folks. How much did he leave? And the lawyer promptly said he left everything. It doesn't matter how much it was. It was all. It was all. And Job lost it all. And still he found strength to say, blessed be the name of the Lord. He worshiped. Verse 22, and I think we'll end with this. And in all of this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. So what does that mean? Well, we know he didn't sin. I read the commentary on this verse, and the commentary said, you know, it's a sin to ask God why. I thought about that, you know, and I actually looked it up in different places. Well, David asked why. David went through so much that in multiple psalms, he asked, why, God? Why have you forsaken me? That was actually a prophecy that was in one of the Psalms. David had this feeling that God had forsaken him. You ever had that feeling sometimes? Folks, I have. I've been there. And if you haven't been there yet, you're probably too young. Most of us in here probably know what that means. But no, I started thinking about that. Well, Jeremiah asked why. Asaph, one of the psalmists, the leaders in the worship, he asked that in Psalm 73. Go back and read Psalm 73. That's one of my favorites. When I get down, when I feel low, and things aren't going my way, I go back and I read Psalm 73. Folks, here's the thing, and this is the understanding I hope that we will all acquire here today, is we live in a fallen, cursed world. It's cursed by sin. Now, Jesus came to relieve us of this curse. No, not relieve us of all the problems, but to relieve us, to save us out of this world. So that when it's all said and done, you have a place in heaven that you will enjoy God forever. The alternative is not something I wouldn't wish it on anyone. Because it's an eternity spent away from God and in hell. But the thing is, the Lord says you don't have to go there. He's calling out to you today. He's saying, you don't have to go. If you go into this place of torment, it will be over the Lord Jesus Christ's body. You've heard people say, not over my dead body. Or over my dead body, you can do that. Well, that's what you'd be doing. You'd be going over the body of Jesus Christ because he paid that sacrifice so that you don't have to go. And Job understood this. And even later in the book of Job, it's quite a lengthy book, but it's worth the read. The fact is, you find out that Job realizes that he's going to see God. I think in one place he says, even if the skin worms eat my body, which we know what that is. It's kind of disgusting to think about. But the fact is, when our body's going back to dust, he said, and I'm going to see the Lord, and it's going to be my eyes and not another. He understood. He understood the end. And so that's what I'm here to impress upon you today, is that the Lord Jesus Christ has his arms open wide for you. I know calamity hits. We live in a sin-cursed world, a fallen world. Good behavior is not always rewarded. Bad behavior is not always punished. It's not fair, is it? Read Psalm 73. It's not fair. If the singers would come, one thing you have to understand is that each of us have to experience life the same way Job did. How did he experience life? One day at a time. Fearing God, shunning evil, and looking to him. Even when all the calamities hit him at once, he had his eyes on God. Folks, where are your eyes today? Are they on Jesus today? I hope so. If you don't know the Lord, I pray that you will come forward. And even if you don't come forward, even in your seat, just say, Lord, I've sinned. Forgive me. I don't want to do this anymore. I want to live for you. Don't have to be those exact words, but something on that order. And the Lord Jesus will save your soul. Will you be perfect at then? Well, maybe not physically, but God will see you as perfect. If you accept the blood of Jesus Christ, you are perfect, just like Job. Father, thank you so much, Lord, for all your love and your mercy. Thank you that Jesus Christ has paid that price and he has his arms open right now. And God, I pray that we will run to him. Oh, Lord, forgive us of our sins. Make us better people. Help us, Lord, to repent of all of our sins and to live for you. Make us new creatures in Christ. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.